Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Today on Exploring Missions, we're going to talk a good bit about technology. You already know that's out of my field, but we do have people that know much more. If you listen to Exploring Missions very much, you'll hear Nathan especially talk about groups, unreached people groups, unengaged, and all these groups. And today, we're going to hear about a burden for the unreached people groups. And from that, and because of technology, ministry was developed, and it has expanded and grown, Nathan.
Yeah, that's right. It is important to kind of keep in mind that innovation and mission go together. They go hand in hand. And we're carrying a message that is timeless, even though there was a point in time in history where Jesus came in the fullness of time and he lived on earth and he did it, the work that only he could do, that redemptive work on the cross. So that message goes back to that point in time and the message doesn't change, but the methods of how we carry that message, of how we communicate that message must change if we're all going to hear and understand, make a heart response to Jesus and see people around the world who currently don't have access to the gospel. How do we get that message to them? What methods should we use? And there should be innovation around that and toward that. So today we have a special guest with us, kind of on the front edge of some technologies and some innovation and some ways God is using to share that message of Jesus Christ, that redemption for all men, all peoples around the world. So we're privileged to have with us Tim Whitehead with Galcom. Tim, thank you so much for being with us.
It is an honor, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
And when we talk about missions, I could not help but think about even in Paul's day, he used a ship.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we can't use the ship. Jesus only used his feet and maybe a donkey. And I knew that was true when I was growing up. I'll say this about movies. The entertainment of movies, now they weren't near as bad as they are today on, you know, Hollywood movies. But man, when Billy Graham started his vision and had some of those great movies, it opened the world to other movies and other ministers. And so here it is with the technology we have today. And I read a little bit of the history. Just a burden for the unreached people groups, Tim.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about, hey, Jesus didn't use a ship. When our founder, Alan McGuirl, went from the pastorate into missions to use radio, solar-powered fixed-tune radios, he had one of his supporters say, "Radio's of the devil, what are you doing?" Well, no, radio is a neutral medium, so let's use the technology. One person talking to millions over radio, why not use it to share the gospel? And to get into unreached people groups who are usually marginalized, so they're in areas where it's hard to get to or impossible, restricted nations like North Korea, into China, radio crosses those borders. So radio is not only not of the devil, it's a great tool to get to those unreached people groups.
Let me say, I'm sorry about my memories, but because of my age, I got a lot of them. But one time, it was a missional, we were showing the movie Gates of Splendor, about Jimmy Next Saint and the other three guys and them reaching that South American tribe. And we had a couple that just couldn't stand to have film in church at night like that, so they went home and watched television.
Now, hypocrisy.
That is the truth, guys. Now, well, Nathan, I hope I didn't take your thought away from me, but I just thought that would fit.
Yep.
Be careful what you start condemning in new technology.
Well, if you Google search Galcom, G-A-L-C-O-M, what might we find? What is Galcom? Does it stand for something? Does it mean something? Just a brief, quick overview of what Galcom does.
Absolutely. So it does stand for something. The com is for communication.
Okay.
The gal comes from Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Make your justice shine like the dawn and your righteousness like the noonday. The Hebrew word for commit is gal.
Right.
It kind of has, but in Hebrew, when you translate Hebrew into English, it can mean a lot of different things. So it means to commit to trust to roll over onto, or it also can be used as the word for wave. So the Sea of Galilee,
yes,
is the Sea of Waves. You know the Sunday school stories, Jesus causing the storm.
Yeah,
and
they're big waves.
Right. They're not just Sunday school. I preach from them just not too right. Amen.
But here's the thing. How does radio travel?
In waves. Waves.
Sound travels by waves. So there's this double meaning. So we tell people, make waves. You know, we're making radio waves. We're making sound waves. But hey, you throw a rock into a pond, it makes waves. It has a ripple effect. We're challenging people, get involved in mission, make a splash, make a difference, make waves.
And we're here at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Meeting. And when I walk around, I think possibly the ones that has the most is technology. There are a lot of different technologies, but yours, I say it's unique in so many ways.
It is, and a lot of people here, they got the podcast and they got apps and so on. 60% of the world doesn't have electricity in their homes. So like I've done a lot of work in Haiti, and I went into a church, and they're the only ones that have electricity in the whole community. They had a generator inside behind the church, and everybody brought their cell phones to church to plug in because they were dead for 3 days because they don't have electricity in their home. So our radios are solar powered. So again, the profile of most unreached people groups, they're in those remote areas. They're forgotten people. They're at-risk people. They're the Quechua up in the Andes of Peru and Bolivia. They're in the jungles, the Samburu jungles of Kenya and so on. And so they don't have electricity. So we're saying, how do we reach the unreached? All right, we need solar power to overcome that barrier. Number two, most of these people groups that are unreached are marked by being non-literate. I don't say illiterate.
Yes.
Most of them choose not to reach. We just had a mission trip go down to the Otomi people in Mexico. They have resisted the Spanish influence. They speak their own language and they don't read. There is no alphabet. So we brought audio Bibles to them. So a lot of the unreached people groups around the world marked by non-literacy. About 70% of the world doesn't read. 33 or so can't. They are illiterate, but another third, they just don't. So again, radio, audio Bibles overcomes that barrier, literacy, infrastructure, and then we already mentioned about those people groups behind closed doors. And radio overcomes all those barriers. So you can do all the pot. And here, China restricts internet. They got the firewall. No one can get website in there. Same with North Korea. Those things are controlled. Radio, you can't stop it, and it's anonymous listening. So these governments, they track what people in Iran, they get people's cell phones. Have you been looking up the Bible? Oh, then you're a traitor. Radio, you don't know if you've turned the radio on. You don't know what you've listened to. So it's anonymous. So it overcomes all these barriers to reach the unreached.
So you mentioned about 60% of the world does not have access in their homes to electricity. And I don't know if that includes this, but there are lots of places in the world. If you've traveled internationally in certain places, you would recognize this. There are a lot of places in the world where there's rolling blackouts or there's just unstable electricity, and you might not even know when the electricity might be going out or not. Could be days that you go without it. So,
and we built a lot of radio stations as well. We built over 200 radio stations in our history, and that's one of the biggest problems, because then the power spikes and then drains and it wrecks the transmitters. Mm. So we're always putting in solar and battery and other things to protect it, because even in places where there's electricity, it is so unstable.
So I'm sitting here looking at this little device that you brought, and it's, imagine a cell phone size, maybe a little bit thicker, but on one side there are solar panels, and on the other side it's not really marked, so you can't necessarily identify if there are authorities that are really intrusive and wanting to look in somebody's pockets and see what they've got. Are you carrying a Bible? Are you carrying something with some sort of identifiable name on it? Doesn't have any of that. So there's some protection there, and it looks very simple to use. There's no instructions, but I think I could probably figure out how to turn this on and find something to listen to. And so do you guys produce this actual hardware?
We do. We actually manufacture it using volunteers in our little production facility in Hamilton, Canada. And this is another testimony. A lot of people say, you know, we were talking about missions and encouraging people to get into missions. They say, well, I'm not a preacher, church planner, or a doctor, right? So, okay, I'm not a missionary. Most of our volunteers are retired electricians, HVAC, construction guys. that their church didn't even know what to do with them. They're like, hey, I want to serve. Well, go serve in Sunday school. Not a chance, you know.
Yeah.
Sing, not a chance. They find out about us, and it's like, we have a guy that's a retired Sears small appliance repairman.
He doesn't have anything to do these days, right?
You're right. So he got laid off. And so he said to his pastor, what do I do? And they said, well, go to visit Galkov. He walks into my office and says, my name's Chris, and my pastor told me to come here and see if I can help. He can do everything that we need.
Wow.
And so we say, this is Chris, the radio missionary. His DNA is left on all these radios all over the world.
That's awesome.
So he's using his skills, abilities, education, experience, serving God absolutely as a missionary. So we have probably 30, 40 people like that in our office every week. They give us a morning or a day, come in, put the radios together, keeps our costs down, and they're missionaries. They're serving in missions to get these radios out.
Two things real quickly. You was talking about what this looked like, Nathan. For those that are born in the 50s and early 60s, that looks like a transistor radio. Same size, same concept. And so that might get those who are listening a little bit of idea of what we're talking. The other thing you was talking about, these guys that are volunteering, ladies that are volunteering, the Bible talks about this in such a significant way that it says, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father. Now, do you think the world sees your good works inside or outside the walls of the church?
Could I say both?
It is. So what you're talking about, some of the most important work of the Lord is going on outside of the walls. Not the pulpits necessarily, not the sin. Hey, keep doing those things, you that are missions. But one of the things that's opened up missionally, and it is missionally if they do it right, is security teams at churches. I know some guys, especially guys, a few women, but guys that they felt like they had nothing to give, but they're there helping, they're directing people, they're security greeters and everything. So what I hear you say is, just because you haven't been a Sunday school teacher, you haven't sang in the choir, you hadn't led in public prayer, there's work for you to do that's missional?
1 Corinthians 12, there's the ear, the eye, the hand, the foot. We all have to contribute for the body to be healthy. And so we need those different parts. We need those different types of service.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the reach of Galkov. And let's start by asking, how are these distributed? How are these devices distributed, and how far do they go in the world?
Yep. So again, right back to 1 Corinthians 12, we need a whole bunch of different people involved. And so you're talking about, you speak two languages. Earlier on, we were chatting about English and redneck. Well, I got only one, and it's a poor English. And so I need partners. So we go out and we look for pastors and missionaries all over the world. And we say, okay, how can we partner together to get people the gospel in audio form so they can understand it in their mother tongue? So everything we do is in partnership. So we got partners in South Sudan. I already mentioned Peru, Bolivia, Haiti, Cambodia, Mongolia. And we've met them here at NRB. You mentioned we're here at the NRB. So we meet these different ministries. We work on how do we partner together, and we supply them the radios, and they distribute them in a contextualized way. We had a guy in Colombia reaching out to the FARC rebels hiding in the jungles. He would fly over the jungles, dropping the radios in with mini parachutes. So there's one context. In Haiti, house to house, door to door, sharing our faith, sharing the gospel, handing out a radio. In Mongolia, they do Christmas. Christianity is new in Mongolia. So they introduce, everyone's heard about the commercialized Christmas. So the ministry there leverages this and says, okay, here's the real meaning. Oh, and here's a gift. And that's how they distribute the radio. So it's all done different, all contextually appropriate for that culture, but all in partnership.
You know, when I hear this, it's missions without limits. We talk about the limits of individuals going and people going. And we know of those that had to go in as a doctor, goat herder, different things. We've talked about our friend Kevin and him going in and talking about how he got in. He didn't go in as, quote, a missionary.
Tent making.
Yeah, had to go in doing something. But these, dropping them with parachutes, I already referred to the Gates of Splendor. What Nate Saint developed down there in Ecuador was flying around and dropping birds and different things to them to let them know, we do you no harm. So again, that was new technology that Nate Saint developed himself in the 1950s. Yeah. So
Does AI going to fit into? I've been wondering if it is AI going to fit into Galcom?
Absolutely. So again, technology, AI itself is not bad. It can be used for bad, but it can be used for good. So one of our big issues is there's not a lot of audio Bibles yet. There's only a few hundred that have been full Genesis to Revelation recorded. A lot more New Testaments. And so we're working with our friends at Wycliffe Bible Translators, Ethnos, and so on. They're using AI so we can get more content. The Bible is accelerating their process. And then we're looking at our player and saying, okay, what can we have in ours? So it's a radio. It looks like a radio, runs like a radio. But inside, actually, is all the chips that we have to use on the circuit board are all Wi-Fi capable and computer. And so we're like, okay, there's a whole world out there that we can tap into to distribute more content, to just accelerate all of this discipleship. And so I got to kind of rein in our R&D department and say, okay, we got some practical things we got to get done here, because it's limitless, really, because AI can just accelerate things and help things, research things for you. So yeah, the answer, long answer, yes. Short answer?
So today we've been talking with Tim Whitehead with Galcom. And Tim, I just wanted to know, you're living in just outside of Toronto, Canada. Let me ask you what your role is with Galcom. What do you do? Kind of your day-to-day, what does that look like?
Well, I'm the director.
Okay.
So I take out the trash.
That sounds like pastors and small churches, yeah.
I actually, you're talking about people not feeling qualified for missions. I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. But I chose to say to God, I'm going to use my skills and abilities to serve you. And it's been 18 years. The board said we need someone to run the ministry, the organization. We had engineers. Our founder was there, a great preacher, a great Bible teacher. They needed someone to run things. So my day-to-day, insurance, accounting, budgets, forecasting, but as well as promoting the ministry. I love being here at NRB where I'm meeting with our partners, talking projects, talking ministry. But yeah, a lot of day-to-day. Hey, we all have a part. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. Like, I don't know, what is the account? Is that the foot? Is that the baby toe? I don't know. But that's my day-to-day. I'm just using my abilities to serve God as best I can to get the gospel to as many people as possible.
Staying in Corinthians and Romans and others, every individual that's been born again has been gifted.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's talents, but then that gift that God gives you, it takes those talents that you had as an accountant. And I'm telling you this, I don't know if you know it or not, but here in you, I believe you have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Man, you
hear it in the voice.
You hear it in the voice. You really do. And a lot of believers need encouragement in these days. And when they get this, what is it called?
We call it the compass, because it's guiding people to the gospel.
Amen.
So it's, a little compass player.
So when they get this compass to get the word of God in their language is encouraging beyond measure. It's discipleship, encouragement, ability to share. That covers just about all the grounds that you need to be for a kind of missionary.
When we're talking back to unreached people groups, a lot of the people groups we're working with, they belong to animistic religions. So there's spirits in the trees and the ground, and there's restrictions and all these legal things, and there's all fear. When they hear the gospel, that there's a God who loves them, who extends grace, unmerited favor, whose son died on the cross for them, you can see the oppression off the shoulders, the light in the face. Like, this is the best news ever. And so we're seeing, we did a project amongst the Samburu in Kenya. I mentioned them earlier. Their whole lifestyle was herding cattle, appeasing the gods, and then stealing cows and killing other people. They're cattle rustlers. The gospel comes, and they realize, we don't need to be living in fear and fighting. And so it's just bringing this, drop off the weight and have freedom in Christ. So yeah, the hope of the gospel, however we can get it to them.
So let me ask this, Tim, is there a way for maybe someone that's listening is a missions leader of some kind, maybe a church leader of some kind, maybe they're just an ordinary average follower of Jesus, but they want to be involved in some way, maybe even, I'm about to go on this mission trip to this place. Can I take some of these compass radios with me and distribute myself? How can they either partner with Galcom or even utilize some of the tools that you have in their ministry?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Again, partnership. If you're going on a mission trip, you're painting a building, you're building a school, you're digging whatever. take radios, take audio Bibles with you. Leave those behind as a witness. We often talk about our radios multiplying a missionary's impact. Missionary goes, talks to someone face-to-face. They leave. Now what does that person have? Well, hey, leave them the audio Bible. You go to the next village. People are still learning the gospel. So do that. Contact us. Just visit galcom.org, G-A-L-C-O-M.org. Say, our church is going on a mission trip. Can we take 50? You know, everyone take two or three in their carry-on. Yes, absolutely. We'll help you do that. If you're a part of another ministry, whatever's taught, let's talk, let's partner. And individual Christians, number one, and I don't like that it's become kind of a, I'm missing the word, but we always say pray, pray. Yeah. And people go, oh, no, that's just kind of code for you wanted us to give money. No. Again, our name is Galcom. It's a commitment. How we commit ourselves to God is we pray.
Yeah.
Every morning we start our day, our paid work day, we pray. We know we can't do it, so we need people praying. So if you do nothing else, pray, please. That's the best thing you can do.
You know, when I hear what they do, I go back to the Bible to say, okay, here it is. When Paul would leave a place that he was in, he left leaders, and then he would write letters, LL, leaders and letters. When you leave the Compass Radio, you're leaving Paul's letters for leaders to grow by. I mean, when I hear that, the possibility, I see why. I mean, I love folks with excitement. I preach that way, you can imagine. I'm kind of out there. But I see why this is something to be excited about, the possibility.
We have this big, huge picture on the wall of our production facility to encourage the people that are building the radios. And it's this tiny church in South Sudan, logs for pews, really uncomfortable looking. And there's a radio hanging from a beam at the top. That's the pastor. That's the pastor, because there's one pastor for like 50 churches in a huge area that he's, and so he's only visiting their church every 3 months. That little blue radio hanging from the raft, it's not even a raft, it's a log. That's their pastor. So that's what's been left behind until the pastor can come back around again. And I was in Haiti, and we're working with a guy who went into a village called Grison Garde, and he went in to plant a church, and they said, we already have a church. He says, you do? Who's your pastor? And they pulled out a little Galcom radio. So that was the evangelist that had so now the pastor came in and had proper discipleship and fellowship. But that radio accelerates that, multiplies the impact of that missionary. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, we tend to forget that we're very individualistic these days and in our society. And we forget that a long time ago, as the Bible canon was being formed and God was leading that process, but the apostles and Paul, people would write letters all over the place, more than what we have collected in the New Testament. There were letters from apostles to all these churches. And what would happen when a letter would come is the church body would gather together in one place and someone would stand up and read that out loud, that one copy that they had, you know, and then they would even pass the copies around from one church body to the next, maybe one village or to the next village or one city to the next city. So what you're talking about, the church gathered around listening to God's word spoken audibly in their own heart language. That's just a New Testament biblical concept, you know?
Yeah, we just took it from the print to the, you know, to the radio, to the microchip, really. But yeah, that's we have great testimonies from Pemba, Mozambique, of listening groups. We sent them about 600 radios. There wasn't enough. And so that's what they would do. They would gather 20, 25 people would gather on one little radio, and that formed churches. And that was their letter. You know, that was their letter from their apostle.
The one thing that's just as a follow-up, what's amazing is some of these cultures that are very oral learning cultures, they can listen. This is something that I cannot do, okay? This is a weakness of being growing up in a highly literate culture and being somewhat literate myself. When I hear something, I don't remember it after I've heard it. But a lot of these people in these cultures, they hear something in their own language. One time, they could go out and repeat it word for word, and that's how the message can spread even further.
Absolutely, yeah. The memorization of oral cultures is actually a measured scientific phenomena.
When you consider the Old Testament, a lot of that was oral.
It was.
Story handed down from generation to generation,
right?
And then God saw at his time, in perfect timing, put it in writing, but it was oral before that. Telling my age, Nathan's granddad, my dad, he was a great oral storyteller.
Yeah, he could tell stories. The old timers all could pretty much tell stories, but he was exceptional.
He was, and I, as a little boy, I would sit there and listen. So I'm thinking about, can you imagine this impacting the children? Yes, not just adults, but children hearing those, you just talking about Sunday school stories?
Yep.
Hearing Jesus feeding 5,000 people with that little boy's lunch, that would hit me, I can tell you that. If I, first time I ever heard it, and on the Compass Radio.
Yep.
So how could, you mentioned prayer being essential and necessary. So how can, as our listeners are hearing you, and they're maybe even checking out galcom.org, how can they be in prayer specifically for you, for Galcom, and the work that's being done?
Yeah, the biggest issue we're having right now is tariffs. How exciting is that? But we ship the radios over to Mozambique and so on to those partners, and they're having trouble getting them through customs. It used to be a bribe, but now with tariffs, it's just become formalized and harder. And so the cost is up. It's difficult. So please be praying that our partners can get in. It's all who you know. Get to know the right person to get their radios into the country. Haiti, we have 1,500 radios that have been sitting in our office now for 16 months because the gangs control the ports. We can't even ship them. So all of these things compounding, getting the radios out is our biggest prayer request.
With this in mind, we're talking about missions, and the missional purpose of the church is telling the story about Jesus. The Bible, the whole thing's about his creation, the fall, and redemption. And no matter where it is, third world country, the most modern country in the world, guess what? The fall is real. And the answer of redemption is through Jesus Christ. And getting these out to masses of people, especially those that are, their language, don't have it written, and hearing it, it's changing lives. So you hear not only numbers, but you've given some individuals that were changed by it.
I love the personal testimonies. I love hearing about the witch doctor who comes to faith and then proselytizes his community. I love to hear about the soldier who laid down his guns because he's heard the gospel in Colombia, and on and on. I love those stories of individual transformation.
Yeah, we just have just a short bit of time left. Tim, anything that you would like to encourage our listeners? We're calling out the encouragement gift in you, I guess. How would you encourage our listeners to just be involved in day-to-day mission, living on mission, but also strategically serving?
Yeah, number one, friend, you're qualified. Am I allowed to mention we have our own radio show?
Absolutely.
We have a weekly radio show called Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I find people like you guys are doing, I find people all different types of ministry, welders, veterinarians, accountants, that are serving God. And hopefully our listener will say, hey, wait a minute, I can join that ministry. I'm qualified for that. So that's the goal of that Mission Compass. So you can look that up on our website. Go on a missions trip, take a radio, get your church mobilized, do something to serve. Friend, you are qualified. God is, hey, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. It's the Holy Spirit's power working through you. You can do mission.
And you are witnesses all over to the ends of the earth. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.